Dear Elaine, this is a tape for you about me. This is Christmas, just before Christmas. This is Tuesday, and Christmas will be Saturday, 1982. And you want to know about my childhood. Well, my childhood was just a normal childhood. I was happy, and I was a nice-looking little girl, and somehow I got to be in a lot of things, and I always felt like I was just sort of on top of the world. I never did have a feeling of being anything else. My mother and father had had a beautiful big wedding, and they were used to nice things, and my father's mother and father had a nice big home, and my mother's mother and father had a nice big home, and they were used to nice things. And when I was little, we lived in a cottage in Navasota, and my daddy worked for his brother, Bobby, in the ice and beer business, I guess. And my father would sometimes take me on trips with him. He'd have to get on the train and go up and down those little towns near Navasota, I guess, to get business. And he'd take me with him, and I'd have an awful good time going with my daddy on the train. And then when we would, Fisher and I would go to meet Daddy when he came home from work. And there was another friend of ours, Walter Boone, who looked kind of like Daddy's build, but he had a patch over his eyes, so we could always tell whether it was Daddy or Walter Boone coming, and we could run to meet Daddy. And I remember I was the bride in a little Tom Thumb wedding. I don't remember the wedding, actually, but I remember the picture of me as a little bride. And I remember going to kindergarten and walking. And I remember how sandy the soil was. It's funny, but it's always impressed me what the soil was like. And it was sandy. I guess that's why the bluebonnets grew so well there. And we walked to kindergarten, and it was not far away, and the dogs would bark at us as we passed a certain place. I remember that. And then we'd get there, and as we passed through the kitchen, the kindergarten was upstairs in somebody's house. Well, this colored woman would always give us a great big homemade ginger snap cookie. It's funny how I always remember food. And I guess I must have been about five when I came home, when I came to Houston. And before I left Navasota, I remember two things about smell. I remember the smell of coffee for some reason. Out in the country air, and the smell of coffee, and the smell of burnt sugar walnut cake my mother made when the preacher came. It's funny how you remember smells. And then we came to Houston, and we lived on Baker Street. And Baker Street was really West Drew now. And I remember all the family Christmases, because Mother was one of nine children, and there were an awful lot of people in that family, and all their children. Most of them had just a few children, but some had, Aunt Bessie had about eight children, so it was a big crowd. And I remember how we had about, just a kitchen full of desserts, cakes and pies. And then I remember having little picnics with my neighbor, Gladys Barron, and we'd take cold biscuits and pick blackberries and have little picnics. And you see, we lived right near Aunt Marie, but I didn't know Carl in those days, but I knew Aunt Marie. And then we had the 1915 storm while I was there, and we all went in the middle of the night over to Aunt Marie's house, because hers was a cottage and ours was a two-story, and it was just rocking back and forth in the wind, and I could remember the plates falling off the plate rail. In those days, you had a plate rail going around the dining room, and that real pretty plates were set up on this rail just for show. And then but first I remember my grandmother and grandfather going to England to the coronation and bringing us back mugs with the picture of the king and queen and the Prince of Wales on it. And I remember burying a dead butterfly in the backyard and putting little shells around on the little, it's funny how you remember little things. And I remember we had banana trees in there. It was a nice home, very nice, that we lived with my grandmother and grandfather, Fisher. So then they moved to McKinney, which was not a new thing to do because my mother had been brought up in that house, so I don't really know exactly whether we had just moved there the first time or whether they had lived there before. It might be that was the first time, but anyway, I went to school at Taylor School, and it was brand new. And we had lots of fun. I remember the big family would come over there on Sunday evening, and the women would have to get in the kitchen and cook. And all of the relatives would come for Sunday evening. Well, anyway, I was in a lot of things at Taylor School. I don't know why. I was tall, I was nice looking, and my mother was very active in the PTA, so I guess they just picked me out to be Mother Goose and different things like that. I remember my mother playing dolls with me and putting ribbons on doll sandwiches. And I remember going to the library and getting brownie books. And it just fascinated me to make little biscuits. My mother would let me do anything I wanted to in the kitchen. And I'd make biscuits and cut them out with a thimble. And those were little brownie biscuits. And then mother making those doll sandwiches and putting ribbon around them. And then grandpa making me four chairs and a table. And the chairs were pointed, so they fitted in under the little round table. And he made me a doll house, and he made me a dog house for Queenie when she had pups. And don't think of me as being poor, because I was not as a child. That was during the Depression in 1930. I was brought up to think of myself as a queen of the fairies, which I believed in. And I suppose it was because my mother had a background of thinking of herself sort of as a queen when she married and had all of those bridesmaids. And she always instilled in me a feeling that I was a queen. And she always dressed me very well. It wasn't that she could afford to buy me expensive things, because my father worked at the Texas Company, and I don't suppose he made a huge salary. But she would sew, and she sewed beautifully. In fact, Aunt Edith sewed beautifully, and my grandfather Fisher was really good with his hands. He built all these little things for me. So using hands in my family was sort of something they did. My childhood was one of happiness, except when I grew up and began to be, I don't know when it started, but when my father started drinking, that was really unhappy. But I guess all children have some unhappiness. I remember going through being a teenager, but I wasn't particularly unhappy. I think being a teenager is always hard on people. But I remember I was in Central High, and my homeroom elected me to be a favorite, and that was nice. But I didn't really go out with the boys then, because I just was a late bloomer. I really didn't go out at all during high school, except to the junior prom with Bobby Burns and the senior prom with Spencer. Can't think of his first name. But both of those occasions were outstanding to me, because I really wasn't used to going out much. But going back, you always asked me about when our house caught fire. Well, that was That was when I was really young, and my, I don't know that that's so interesting, but I was in many things, and in the church I was in the, I was the Virgin Mary, and who should be the Joseph but Joe Hornberger, who now plays golf with Carl sometimes, but he mostly plays with Albert. And then when I was in high school, when I was a sophomore, I was a favorite. And then when I was the next year, I was an outstanding, I had the leading role in the Brotherhood of Man, which was a citywide play held at the City Auditorium. And at that time I was in Carl's Latin class, and he wasn't speaking to me then, and I wasn't speaking to him. As I say, we were both late bloomers. It's now Wednesday, December the 22nd. And when I was from 12 to 21, I was active in the Girl Scouts. Every summer I went to Girl Scout camp in Camp Allen, and when I was about 17 I was a counselor at Girl Scout camp on the bay. When I got the letter from Rice saying I was accepted and would be a freshman that fall, Rice was awfully hard for me. I had to work hard to make my grades, but I was determined, and I did make the grades. But what made it so difficult was that I was active in the church's YPSL and going to conferences and so forth, and being some kind of student assistant to Reverend Peter Gray Sears out at the Autry House. I was very friendly as a student and enjoyed life on the campus, and especially my writing courses and work on the Thresher. In the summer I worked taking dictation from a professor who was writing a book for a half a day, and then went down to the Chronicle and worked in the society department free for the experience. Finally, when I was a sophomore, Mr. Carl Illig spoke to me. I remember we were on the Esplanade out at Rice, and he said, "We are going to sit next to each other in biology class." I was surprised, as I had known him for 3 or 4 years from the Latin class. He asked me for a date later on, and I remember what I wore. It was old rose satin. We went to the picture show. I remember he put his arm on the back of my chair. It's funny how you remember things. I guess I remember this because I was beginning to be aware that he was attracted to me. I also had this same feeling when he came to my house the time he was working on the National Democratic Convention near my house on McKinney. I don't remember any more details or how many dates we had. I remember I was very busy in my studies in the church work and Girl Scout thing about being elected to go to Europe to the International Girl Scout Camp with 26 others. And I felt like Mr. Illig was beginning to care for me, and I did not feel the same. I was very immature and naive, but very sincere. And I did not want to hurt him, so I told him. After that, we had no more dates. I had other dates and had a chance to look around. This was when I went with Frank Rusley. He was very nice looking and so forth, but later I felt he was too much of a playboy. Finally, it came time for the annual banquet of the Writers' Club, and I had to get a date for it. By this time, I had had a chance to compare men with Carl, and I realized that no one held a candle to him, so I invited him to be my date for the banquet. I think it was the end of our junior year. After all that time, it was quite an occasion. I remember I wore a blue chiffon. I guess Aunt Edith had made it. Anyway, we sort of fell into each other's arms, and that was the real beginning of our affair. By the time we graduated, we were going steady. This was about the time that we graduated, and Carl came to see me almost every night when I lived on Rosewood. We had moved to Rosewood from McKinney. It was right in the deepest of the Depression, and Daddy had taken over that house as a payment, I guess, on some other houses. And everything was beginning to really look pretty bad from an economic point of view. Also, I had sort of lost weight, and I was worried about everything, and I was really kind of half sick. So I just kind of stayed home that fall and didn't do anything, and took shots, iron shots, to get my blood back in working order. And Carl went off to law school that fall. I mean, we used to write every day. And finally, beginning of the next year, I felt better and I began to get jobs. And I worked for the Girl Scouts for about a year, and then I worked for a shipping company which folded up and became a truck company. And that's when I was working at, we called it the Winnegar Works. It was, you'd have to take a bus from where I lived on Taft. We had lost the house on Rosewood, and we'd moved back to Aunt Edith's house on Taft. And I'd take a bus downtown and then transfer on the other side of the viaduct and go down to where this trucking company was. It was pretty bleak. But everybody was in trouble in those days in 1932. Well, finally, Carl went to school. Finally, in the deepest part of the Depression in 1933, April the 27th, we were married. And our wedding was in a church full of people. Everybody had come. We hadn't even sent out invitations. We just phoned everybody. And it was a full church. It was amazing. I don't know how we had so many friends. And Aunt May had given us a reception the night before, sort of a party at her house. And then after the wedding, we drove on to Galveston, where Carl and Olive had an apartment already, and Carl was already ensconced in a law firm. And we stayed there about a week for our honeymoon, and then Olive came and joined us later, and we stayed there a whole year. And from then on, well, everything was kind of hard economically. That's where you've gotten the impression that I was so poor. Well, I wasn't rich, but I wasn't poor like you think of being poor. I had most everything a child wanted, and I was very happy.